comments, and then I'll answer some questions later on. And anybody has questions, raise your hand, stand up so people online can hear you, and take it as it goes.
Good.
Turn it over to you.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for coming tonight. Shouldn't be too long of a meeting. First off, just going to go over some staff introductions here. We're not all here, but got some new people here. And then we're going to go through the management strategy for the season, talk about the forecast that we put out. You guys probably seen the forecast already. And a couple of test fisheries that we've got going on this summer. And then mostly just going to give you guys a chance to ask any questions you have before the season gets started. So first off, me, this is my second year doing this job. You guys probably recognize me from last year. This is Colton Lipka. He was here at the end of last season. He was the assistant manager in Cold Bay, and he'll be stationed in Cold Bay for part of the season this year, and then he'll be in Sandpoint for part of the season this year, too. He's been with Fish and Game for quite a while. He was in Ethel management staff before we sold him last year. We got Mary Beth Lowen here. She's the new assistant manager here in Sandpoint. And before that, she was working with Area M Research for salmon, so she's really familiar with the area. And she's going to be out here for about 3 more weeks, and then she's heading back to Kodiak, and she's going to be taking a job outside the department. So we've got her helping for just a little bit this summer, and then we're going to be a little bit short-staffed again, but we're going to just continue on and hire again in the fall. So that'll be, we'll be good to go. Mark Patterson is our state pilot. He's not here right now. He just moved back to Kodiak. This is his third season with the department, and he's going to be flying us around while we look for fish and count fish, and he's going to help us put up reg markers, and he just got his enforcement training done, too, so he'll be doing some enforcement this season also, and then just running logistics for the field camp. Amanda Adams is going to be our front desk person again. She'll be doing our fish tickets. She's not here yet. She'll be here about the 23rd. And she'll be answering the phone, doing fisheries announcements, logistics, Orzinski Weir stuff. And the Orzinski Weir crew this year is going to be new. We had the same people out there at the Weir for the last 4 years, but both of the people took jobs, or they're taking jobs down in Washington State for the summer. So we've got a new crew for Orzinski Weir, but they've had jobs with Fish and Game for a while, so they're experienced counting fish and shouldn't have any issues with that. And that is us. And so now I'd like to go around the room because we do have new staff, and I'd like you guys to introduce yourselves so that we can get a refresher on who you are and so people online can hear who's in the room here in Sandpoint, and then we'll do the same thing in all Fasking Cove. So, Ernie, I don't know, you already introduced yourself, but...
I'm Ernie Weiss. I work for the Brook.
Okay.
I'm Greg Eflick, Jet Net Fisherman, Sandpoint.
I'm Brian Nutt. This is my first time. I'm in the fifth grade.
Okay.
I'm not fishing.
You're not fishing? Yeah.
I used to.
Yeah, for a long time.
Here I own 50 fish.
Okay.
I live in Oscar Back.
Okay.
Danny Cumberland.
And Ron Wittstrom of Peter Pan office.
Okay. Retired? You snuck in? Okay, and then in King Cove, we got one in the back. Hi, Karen. And then in King Cove, we got Glenn Guffey there. Anybody else show up, Glenn?
Just me.
All right, just Glenn in King Cove, and then anybody in Falls Pass? Okay, nobody in Falls Pass, and then we got Austin on the line. Okay, so our management strategy, just real quick, it's the same as last season. There's no major changes going on. We'll do our scheduled June period fisheries, and then we'll be working on the Southeastern District mainland, depending on what Chignik has happened. Hopefully, we'll have some pink salmon coming in this year, coming off 2015 parent year. So we'll have our post-June fisheries, and then hopefully some extensions for some pink salmon fishing in between those. and then into August, and then for September we'll have our coho fishing, so it'll just be business as usual. We did have some meetings this winter talking about the Dolgoy Island area and the new regulations regarding that. I don't know if any of you guys were involved in those meetings this winter, but... Yeah, so last or a couple years ago at the Board of Fisheries meeting, there was a new regulation that was put in place that once 191,000 sockeye salmon were caught in the Dolgoy Island area, which is a bunch of coastal areas between in the south central and a little bit of the southwestern district, once we get that information based on fish tickets, we receive that in the office, then a subsection of that closes down until the end of the allocation period, which is the same as the Southeast Fish Plan then. So last year, when we reached that limit, it was really early on in June, and when we reached the limit, we gave 12 hours notice of closure. And over the winter, through conversations, we decided that instead of 12 hours notice, we're going to be in 6 hours notice. So we're reducing the time that's given notice. But it'll still be, when we get the fish tickets in the office, we'll have to have the numbers on fish tickets in our hand, or not fish tickets in hand, but verbal reports saying 191,000 sockeye have been caught. And then we'll give a 6-hour notice of closure. And then it'll be closed until the end of the allocation period. So it's pretty similar to last year, and we'll be giving notice as we're getting closer to that. So we'll be like, the harvest is 180,000, so we're getting close. And then once we actually get to 191, or once we break that 191, we'll give 6 hours notice. Yeah. That's the only kind of really minor change from what we did last year. Other than that, we're just hopefully there'll be some salmon coming back. So that gets us into forecast. Tank salmon forecast, that 2015 year was huge, so hopefully a lot of those fish survived early juvenile stage, made it out to the ocean, ate, got big and strong, and they're coming back. Our point estimate for our tank salmon forecast harvest is 11.6 million, and we've got a range around there that's pretty wide of 9.7 to 15.8.
So that's harvest.
That's for all of South Bend. Yeah.
Excluding June?
Total. But we don't typically use the June harvest as part of that. But you guys all saw the fish come back in 2015. There were so many fish that probably some of them didn't spawn that well. The streams are kind of clogged with tanks, and there's some washing out. But there are a lot of fish, so there should be some coming back. And then we all know that there's some weird ocean conditions happening. So we'll just kind of see as it starts coming back. But that many fish spawning, we should have some coming back this year. The other forecast that we had come out was the Chignik sockeye salmon forecast, and that'll affect the Southeastern District mainland fisheries. They have earlier on harvest forecast of 866,000 and a late run harvest of 600,000. So it's not a really strong forecast for Chignik. Not a strong forecast. So we'll just wait and see how their escapement plays out. They don't have the weir in, but they're hoping to be fish tight like June 2nd. We've got the I-beams across the river, and they're starting to put panels in. With that forecast, we just have to wait to see how the escapement goes. And then we have been slightly over our 7.6% allocation for the last couple years, so we might be a little bit more conservative depending on how their run comes in. If it's a marginal year, it's looking like it's going to be, we'll be a little bit more conservative, especially than that. Any more questions about the management strategy or the forecast?
Do you know how many active standards you've got?
I don't know that off the top of my head.
Active permits or active fishing? Well, there's a bunch of permit holders, I guess. I think last year, I think there was 68. But I don't know how many did it here.
Active permits.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 Yeah.
I'm just
sure.
I was kind of curious on that Avalon area.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
We were neutral on that one. I think it was originally written as an in-season management proposal, and we pushed back on that because it's extra work for staff to manage in-season, like we do the Southeastern District mainland, or like Kodiak does for their Shelikof fisheries, their mainland fisheries. So it got rewritten to have fish ticket management. So that's the only thing that we kind of changed. As far as allocation goes, we were completely neutral on that, and it was based off of some of the genetic results that WASP had for that area.
There was nothing really exclusive about where the transition from the study and being neutral about flying 100 miles out of a particular area and setting up and complete off the wall.
Well, it was an addition to the June and the post-June management strategy. There was a proposal to put in a completely different management strategy, but this was just kind of an amendment to the June and the post-June, and the department's stance was neutral, and the board was the one who got to weigh in on the allocated parts of it. And they weighed the pros and cons of the genetics results and what the impacts would be on the stakeholders, and that was the that was actually the agreement that Area M fishermen came to with Chignik. They kind of fought over it for a while and negotiated it down to the 191, and then having the subsections closed.
It is a swing stamp for the best.
Well,
we would have rather do it for you. So I get two things about how it's not the light. So so if they take into consideration that maybe that front head would move from on the other side here, because there's no fish on the other side that I run anymore, or haven't been years now, maybe it would be not like it used to be.
Well, and WASIP...
Did they consider that at all?
WASIP was a snapshot. You know it was only 3 years of the study. It was the most that they could afford to do, and... You know, within 3 years, they found that it was highly variable from year to year. So those were the results that were brought to the board, and that was the decision that was made.
Well, I think the conglomerates of a bunch of different entities that you give and asking for funds to do just to identify different forever.
Anytime there is an argument or a discussion or any kind of battle for a resource between two different areas, it's considered allocative, and the department has to kind of step out of it. We're not going to be fighting for Area M or against Chignik or for Chignik or anything like that. That is one thing that we have to remain neutral on, and that's why the board is given that power.
If that's the case, why did Chignik
Yeah. Well, this is a proposal that, or this change is something that I'm sure will be under scrutiny at the next Board of Fisheries meeting, and there's probably room for negotiation if people want to bring suggestions or new proposals for it.
Every single year that they have this area up for discussion of the Board of Fisheries, Act M in the middle of all that time. Okay.
Yeah, there's never a good time for it, and the way state funding is going, we might start switching it so it's fewer meetings, but it's 5 years or three instead of 3 years in meetings. That'd be another thing to contact the board about. They didn't say they didn't want. Yeah. Yeah. Well. Well, we'll be doing our best to give notice as things are coming along, so hopefully it won't be a shock when there's a 6-hour notice given. Yeah, we'll try to flag you down from the beach or something. We did get a bigger antenna, so hopefully people can hear us better last year. I know that was an issue. I know I don't talk very loud and I don't talk very slow, but I'm working on that too.
Was there any discussion within the department about the size of the thing last year and particularly?
I know after the season last year, there was a lot of kind of scrambling around and trying to figure out what happened to all the pink salmon. And especially for Area M, there was really big fish caught way earlier than normal and a lot more of them. And then later on, it was just nothing. To me, it makes sense that if only a few fish made it through their juvenile stage and made it out to the ocean, that the few fish that were out there would have all the resources. But the ocean is still a big black box, and we still have a lot of questions about what happened to those fish.
I mean, it's just orders of magnitude.
I remember, yeah. They were.
I had a bag of pink June, because I don't normally catch a bag of pink June. And it was almost like a 12-pound average.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they were king coming up. And I'm just like, in all my years, every year is different. And no 2 years ever that you've seen at all. And then you have something like that show up. And I was just shocked.
Yeah.
Wondering if there's discussion
about why that happened. Yeah, I know they were bigger than anything.
Yeah, I am. I just don't know if pigs are 2 feet or old. Pigs left from all percentage came here before there were millions of fish. Don't take very many. All percentage come back here. But I don't know if anybody tested.
We didn't pluck any scales. So that would be easy to do as far as looking at their scales. For me, the fact that they were so early on in the season makes me wonder if they hadn't been harvested, where they were heading.
I know that on the west side of Kodiak, they also were catching really large pinks early on, and the research staff in Kodiak plucked a few scales, and they were at the normal age. So that's not to say that that represented the whole season, but. Well, do we know that?
Well, my other question on the survival weight on the fry when it comes out, if that sticks around, does it make a difference on how cold the water is or how warm the water is on the fry's survival rate? Because I know it does in the fish when they're in town. So, warmer the water up here, more fry flies.
Yeah, that's one of the only variables. It's like run return and temperature, freshwater rearing temperature that goes into the model. And the warmer the water, the higher the survival. But I remember a couple years ago, the temperature was so high that there were no other years to compare it to. And so there is a possibility that there's too warm.
Yeah, I'm back to Washington.
I was also curious about the distribution of fish with the warmer water. because if the ice floes come down so far, when they do migrate out, then they have to go further out to the ocean to find feed. But if the water is so warm right outside the mouth, and there's all kinds of feed, then why do they need to swim away from Bristol Bay and way out? And so I'm wondering why, like last year with the seniors, not catching much salmon here. Normally we see about 20% of that Bristol Bay run migrate to our waters. And I'm just wondering, with global warming and that, are we going to see diminished run size? Because this fish don't really have to swim so far away to get all the food they need.
Pretty big question. The only place last year that I heard strong returns for pinks was like the Kamchatka Peninsula and up north, like Nome. And everywhere in the Gulf side, it was the entire Gulf side was looking bad. So, I mean, there's a chance that the fish that were in June were heading to the Bay side, not to the Gulf side. And that warm water blob has broken down some, but there's some residuals sticking around. And I mean, like you said, every year there's something weird that happens to salmon. So we have our forecast out. We know what happened last year. We know what happened 2 years ago. But what happens this year, we don't really know until the nets go in the water and we start seeing the fish come out again. Wow. Yeah, I know Carlick Escapement is looking really good. Their early run is ahead of schedule. And then, like I said, the Trigness Weir isn't in yet, but we'll start getting numbers there pretty soon, too. Yeah, it's starting. Yeah, I think that's in response to that Carlick push. Yeah, it is. They moved their Carlick Weir downstream from its historic site. It's been downstream for a few years now, but their counts are, compared to historic averages, are a little bit off the location of the weir as far as time goes, but it's a lot of fish. It was 46,000 yesterday or so.
My little question.
Yeah. You know, it's sad to say, but it's like every year this happens, so we just kind of keep going until something more serious comes around. Well, and we're planning on putting the Orzinski Weir in around the 15th of June, but we're not going to put it in for 2 weeks and or for half a week and then pull it. So, yeah, we're just waiting to hear. So without the weir, there's no way to manage that northwest, and we have to go back to Kodiak. Yeah.
How about
I'm not sure how that would work. It's not escapement based, and so we'll probably put out our news release here pretty soon, and that'll be going. But if we're not working, there's nobody to monitor the harvest, nobody to track any fish tickets. There's no way to, I mean, without any management staff, I don't know if we can continue on with the fishery. And if we are getting pulled out of here, we'll have to start packing up and shutting down buildings and heading out middle of June just to get back to Kodiak. We're not a liability out here.
We were managing it when you guys were still in
Take the calendar to the door.
All right, yeah.
But if we're here, we are set over. If we fish go set over, what difference would it make whether you're here or not?
Yeah, I mean, we do have to track harvest. We do have to have fish tickets. We do have to. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not really sure how that would work. I mean, I'd be willing to stay out here, but I've been told that we're not allowed to stay out here. We're a liability. We need to go home.
Well, you go home if we catch a million red. So, big deal. I mean, we're still doing it in the time frame that the port official out of us.
There is enforcement issues, probably, that Fish and Game staff need to be around to monitor the fishery.
We got to go inside a boat and water.
Don't know. And nobody would know if nobody was here. I've seen skiff marks up inside creeks. I've seen people where they're not supposed to be, you know. And if there's nobody out here watching, I'm not saying that it's anybody in this room, but there is the possibility that there would be enforcement issues that nobody would be here to enforce. I'm not sure how it would work. We're going to put out that news release, and it's going to be out. And unless we put something out to cancel it, then those period fisheries will continue going. I'm just hoping they're going to put out an operational budget for the department. I imagine that if they say, what's that? Yeah. I imagine.
I'm wondering where these streams that got all the fish in them in gym. But these are going to tell him he'll be in there with where's all these red stems up these streams?
You know, I don't know, but every year the salmon do something weird every year.
You know, it's empty. July before we get our first red, so
yep.
I don't know where are these streams that got red now?
Or probably a more appropriate one would be it's closed and somebody's still fishing, right? Something like that. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I could see there being arguments for not having a fishery without any department staff out here to monitor it.
Right.
So that's and I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't asked that question because I'm assuming they're going to figure it out and we'll be here and it'll be fine.
I came 40 years into the 50s. Never had airplanes. All he had was one revenue boat. He took care of this whole area.
Wait.
He still got salmon yet today. That's a lot of years. They had it over time.
Yeah.
And these guys had been fishing 7 days a week. Nobody would have known it.
Yeah.
We got salmon. Still have salmon.
I think you guys have gotten more efficient at catching fish.
Say, well, you've got to have enforcement, enforcement, enforcement. Where was the enforcement back in that day? There wasn't. Not like today. I know because I was here.
Pre-statehood?
Huh?
Pre-statehood?
But the what?
Before we were a state.
Yeah, I was here when this was the territory.
Yeah.
We still got salmon today, so this. Well, we can't trust you people. It's bullshit.
It's not. It's the way the regulations are written. This is the code that we have to follow because we are a state. Because we have.
I've been telling you guys, you weren't even born yet.
No.
You know, my grandfather was fishing.
Well,
I never went away.
The whole goal is to be sustainable with it, right? The whole goal is to be sustainable with it. So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Everybody's goal. I know your goal too. And like I said, hopefully we'll just be working all summer. It'll be like normal, as normal as it can be for a salmon.
Okay, probably don't have to go home. You're probably
going to All right, you guys have any more questions about any of that? Yep. That's my next.
And Canada are declaring opposition of the Keystone XL pipeline.
So,
the Associated Press.
Yeah, we're doing the immature test fishery, and then in addition to that, we're doing cost recovery.
Tribes
fishery.
Are signing a deck.
And the legislature grants us authority to generate revenue up to a certain dollar amount, and they decided that within the Westward region, we can make $100,000 in cost recovery, and then that is divided between Kodiak, Chignik, us, North Bend, and we're all trying to go out and make $100,000 between the four of us. And last year, I think Chignik had a hard time getting their cost recovery fishery in between their openings. But each year, hopefully, we can sort of, whichever one we can make money with that form. And the legislature might take that authority away from us and try to shrink our budget down more. I'm not really sure how that's going to all look. But this year, we're going along as planned. We're going to try to make another $40,000 in cost recovery, and then also our immature test fisheries, so hopefully a total of 50 for our group. Yeah, kind of split amongst regions. The immature test fishery is directly to our program, though.
Which one?
The immature test fishery. Yeah. And we have authority for $50,000 within our group, and then we have more for the region, too. But it keeps changing, too.
You can get on the cost recovery?
We suggested it last year, and I don't know whether we'd catch it this year or not, but at a given time, we'd catch quite a bit of fall. And this year, a couple of the photos have been popped. And really doesn't mean anything to us when we're fishing now. But you're talking about cost recovery to make the party for the park. Why did they make an exception and allow us to get rid of the budget scammers? And the scammers pay the department.
Last year, the idea of the canneries directly donating money to the department came up, and it's a big, clunky machine state.
Oscillation. They're paying you for product that we're giving them.
It would be considered a donation to the department. And I think the department can accept donations now. It was a new concept last year because we hadn't been in this situation before. The difference between that and a cost recovery fishery or a test fishery is that our test fishery money rolls over for a year. We don't have to spend it or lose it. So it's actually nicer for us to have this cost recovery authority money. If we get a donation from you, then it goes into a different admin direction.
Change it from a donation, but that's take half the money and take it. I need to take something out of it. I'm just talking common sense.
Well,
I'm going to dump the fish over that's going to be dead and go to the bottom. What the hell's the point? When you could pay for government or pay for whatever, it just doesn't make common sense.
Yeah.
Crazy. And everybody's knocking all the way through the North Pacific Council and everything else, 100% pretension.
Well, if you're dead, what's your cost?
Yeah. Well, and we can talk to the groundfish managers about this idea. Have you talked to Mark Sigurd or Matt Nichols about that idea?
Just a short little meeting. I'm already got my heart rate right up. What would I do in the North Pacific Council meeting or a Board of Fish meeting? I mean, it's a bunch of BS.
No, just calling the managers for the ground fisheries in Kodiak and talking to them about it. Because you start getting into bycatch and salmon and then groundfish, and it's going above my level of authority. And I don't manage any groundfish fisheries, so
talking to someone before I got here, they said, "Do you want to bring fishers for you guys and hang a fish around your neck with BS on?"
Well, we do have bid forms for our cost recovery fisheries on the counter, so if anybody's interested in making some money for the department, we do have those here.
We're not joking about some of the ways to save money, and it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
State of Alaska. Everybody else is kind of dumping their nose on it.
Yeah. No,
I can't even make a living the way it is. Guys, I can't imagine how a crew on a dragger or a pot we hold right now is slipping in from eating to a grocery store. So.
Yeah. What we did last year for a cost recovery was successful as far as making money for the department and as far as keeping everything running. We don't have any issues keeping our weirs in this year as far as actually having the money to do it. We just have to have the budget passed so that we're good to go. So, you know, it's working. We're all scrambling. It's all new, but it's working.
Is there anything we can do to help you, other contacts or representatives?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody wants that operational budget to be passed. And if you guys want to contact people and say, can you get this done so we can keep fishing, I don't think that would hurt. But, yeah, we've got a few bids in already for our cost recovery stuff, so we're looking good there. And yeah, I mean, ideas for making money, we can't, like I said, it's a big clunky machine, so we can't get an idea and implement it right away. We have to sit there and think about it and then work through the administration process and get all the paperwork lined out and get it approved by everybody. But you know, we're open to ideas for making it work. Yeah.
What I'm seeing here is in the years of the past when you guys had a comedian up here,
right,
there's just ways of that. Yeah. Once you come to here now. I know. But, I mean, there's something going on, and it's starting to discourage people from even coming. There's something going on. Something wrong. And it looks to me like it's phased us out of history totally, is what I'm looking at.
Trying to.
Is that what's going on? I don't know, but.
I know there's a lot of studies going on right now about the dynamics in the fishery. There's the graying of the fleet and trying to get people who are younger more involved in these stakeholder meetings, trying to get more people to come to these meetings. I know there's a bunch of people working on the boats right now. I know people are busy right now. I tried to not do it right in the middle of Memorial Day weekend, but I don't know how to get more people engaged in the meetings, but anybody who wants to come and talk to me, I'm totally willing to do that. I don't know if there's past sentiment that's bad or if it's anything that I can improve, let me know how to do it. I will try to do it.
We'll talk, right? We've been talking.
Yeah.
I don't get a little more time here for one thing.
A little more time.
Proficient.
That.
I mean, fly is a joke. A total joke.
After annual income.
You're getting, a half a month. We should be getting two-thirds of the month to be able to fish the stewards. And they fish here for 5 days a week. They fish here for 7 days a week, 3 years ago. Didn't hurt the rudder, but rudder's still coming in millions. So when you get home or whatever, to your people say, hey, well, look what's going on here. Because we're not bullshitting. They're phasing us out of the fishery. When that happens, you're going to starve with them. Bottom fish today, there's no price on bottom fish. They ain't making any money. My families here are falling apart because of this BS. But that's what the state is doing. So when you guys go home, to say something. You know, it's hard times here. Not easy anymore. And they're making it harder and harder every year if they can. It's bad. Watch what's going on. I mean, I've got to get out of this. But for the new guys that are coming up, kids that are coming up, ain't going to have fishery. Yeah. You can give them the boat, then they can get into it. They ain't going to buy one.
Yeah.
So there's no money in it anymore. And cattle have already got a thousand a bite in us. Just adding fuel to the fire, that's all.
Do you think there will be a small fishery like this even 50 years from now? Really?
Hard to predict 50 years from now. We're trying to keep the salmon coming back so that there are fish to be caught. We're not.
We'll be working there. It'll be 70 or better. We'll be retired.
Well, we're not in charge of market prices, we're not in charge of anything like that. We're in charge of keeping these regulations happening and like you guys said, the Board of Fisheries meeting isn't at a time when you guys can make it, but that's where the change happens, is at the Board of Fisheries. I can't go back and change this book. This book is not written by me.
No, we all know that.
And I hear you.
But you can just be held, and held by who we are, which I would, you know, if we get to go to them meetings, we got 3 minutes, pay our fees.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get 4 because I stutter. That's right, I do.
Yeah, I can't encourage people enough to go to the meetings, learn how the process works, get involved, and make sure that they're aware of how these changes are happening. Because if you're not at the meetings, things will slip in a direction that you don't want them to. You have to be there and be on the other side of the negotiations to make sure that you're not losing ground.
Or a fishing process. A lot of people support the process. But process change. At a lay fisherman's place, and a little bit about the areas talking about the customer from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in common areas, don't let me in there because they won't let you talk. And then, besides that, Forest Fish won't make educated decisions because they hear all the information. They'll put it into committee. So nobody can look in the eye and say, hey. They'll put it into committee and say, well, you agree to it in committee. Yeah, so the committee should go away, and the board should do their job.
I think they've gone away from the breakout committees, and they're doing the committee of the whole now, so that everybody's involved in the conversation at the same time. At least that's how it was at the last couple meetings that I've been to. But I know what you're talking about, where they go in separate rooms, and the few meetings that I've been to, public testimony is open to anybody, and the committees have been open to anybody's input. So I don't know how recent that change was, but you have to go to the meetings and you have to speak up if you want to have your voice included in the process.
Work with process questions, maybe get some of the office.
Yeah.
I said office 3 years, they didn't say any word about this area.
Yeah, that's part of it too. Part of it too.
Crazy, I had to set it up to get a good process. Everybody supports us. I don't know if we support the process the way it's all political. You know,
you
say about taking part in the process, of course, I'm talking now about the Joint Pacific Management Council. So when the halibut I have students coming in, I mean, we went to that meeting, and I'd say 4 out of every 5 people in more of a, the kids, the IF students, we all went in there and said that. And then, after all that input, and Governor Hickel goes, well, I've got to look at all Alaskans, not just the fishermen. And so even after you go to the process, 80% of the people are against it. They're still going to shove it down your throat due to whatever they're going to do to us. And we take part in the process to no avail.
I'd like to thank you guys for giving I do appreciate your food and our command and fisheries. I hear a lot of negative stuff. Yeah.
I can hear your guys' frustration. I'm not quite sure what to say to it. Yeah. And I appreciate you guys coming and voicing your opinions. Because if you don't say it and I don't hear it, I don't know what you guys are thinking. So I appreciate it.
Now I'm thinking in 50 years from now, there's not going to be any of us here. You're going to have traps. And traps that can efficiently monitor different species, let out the ones going and harvest, instead of like taking before and just killing off everything. But I think with the robotics and the sensors and everything else, but I think we'll all be on welfare. Getting a damn little bit of check from because we were part of participants,
I sure so hope I'm retired by now.
I'm going to live forever.
In that scenario, it sounds like I'd be out of a job too. So. Lisa? No, that's all I got. There's information over there if anybody wants calendars or handy dandies. There's some maps over there. We'll be in the office from here until September, so if you have any more questions that come up later on, come by. We'll be there Monday through Friday for sure, and usually on the weekend.
All right. Yep. Thank you. I have just one or two things to say about council, if anybody wanted to listen. Board of Fish, too. But the council meeting's in June, and it's mostly, Glenn, if you're still on here, at the Observer Advisory Committee, most of you guys maybe know that of the pollock deliveries in King Cove, 322, zero were observed. And that number is getting a lot of attention. No observed deliveries from King Cove vessels. And everybody's looking at that, and they're going to try to fix it. Because once they divided dock deliveries and tender deliveries, and I haven't talked to anybody from Peter Pan yet, but... Right. Yeah, but there's accusations about guys are playing game in the system and stuff. And so, yeah. If there's any input on that, as I go to the meeting, I want to defend King Cove Fishermen as much as possible. And I'll, Glenn, if you're still on, I'll give you or Dale a call. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah, Gary. Yeah, best give Dale a call. We're all up to speed on that. That document is not true.
Okay. Well, when I get back to Anchorage, I'll definitely give you a call if that's all right. I'm looking for some ammunition.
Yeah, myself or Dale. He's still in Seattle.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
Well,
they have a very ambitious person who lives in the area.
So the other thing I was going to talk about was Board of Fish. We got the governor's nominees were confirmed by the legislature. John Zinchson, who the mayor put a letter in, confirmed, and Reed Moreski, and then Fritz Johnson is back on the ACRs are due, agenda change requests. If we're looking at something for Dolgoy, they're due in August, and that's something we'll be looking at all summer. Otherwise, proposals are due next April, so... Board of Fish.
What is no? If they move that fish line back where it was at the beginning, it was there for years. But they moved it back down this way for that's a strictly got mad.
The drift line? Which line?
The drifters. They moved it down.
Oh.
Where is it? Down fast.
Like the bottom half of
the island?
Yeah. It's like that.
But it helped if this was moved back up to where it was originally at. It was there for 100 years. Why was it even moved?
I'm not sure.
Effort, really. Wasn't much effort, really, was there?
It's still there.
They don't know that. They don't know who's up there. How many miles away from. But the trouble started once they moved that line down. That should be moved back where it was at. Takes up in pressure office. But, I mean, that's what I'm looking at. Why did they have to come down? I mean, they asked for it here too, but they stopped them. They said no.
Yeah.
They don't want it here. So why shouldn't that go back where it was at? I mean, there's going ahead.
Any other questions or comments from King Cove before we sign off here?
None from here.
Glad you were on there. Thanks, Glenn. We're going to go ahead and shut this off. Thank you.
All right. That was the Board of Fish. No, sorry, not the Board of Fish.